Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Back on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth, and great to be here with you today. We've got Kenneth Roman coming up here in just a little while. Kenneth is co-author of a book, and it's pretty plain and simple. It says How to Advertise. That should be worthwhile hearing from Kenneth, and we'll have him joining us here in just a few minutes on The Advertising Show. Actually, about 10 minutes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
This hour, we've got, Fusion 5 with Patrick Meyer, and we've also got Mary Lou coming up next hour on The Advertising Show. Andy Borowitz is with us today as well. Advertising Show, brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at theadage.com. That's their website. This is a Big Radio Midgets production with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. Yeah, said it all.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, if you don't know who Kenneth Roman is, if you're familiar with Ogilvy and Mather, he had a small role with that company.
Okay.
Chairman and CEO, former chairman and CEO of Ogilvy Mather Worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about how to advertise, he might have an opinion.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Not only an opinion, but something that's worth listening to, which we invite you to stay with us.
There is a difference.
Yes.
Because when it comes to advertising.
We've had some people who have opinions.
Everybody usually does.
But we don't really choose to hear them.
That's true.
What we're saying, okay? You
understand
what I'm saying?
That's when we get the TiVo out.
Yeah, right, mm-hmm. Exactly. Anyway, we'll have Kenneth on in just a few moments.
Yeah.
From The Advertising Show, Martha Stewart is doing some good things, believe it or not.
In jail?
No, this is before jail.
I got you.
She makes furniture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Alex Bernhardt was understandably nervous about a year ago, this article says. This is out of High Point, which is where they make all the furniture.
Sure, stuff. Carolinas, yeah.
He escorted embattled fashion diva Martha Stewart to the unveiling of her first signature collection of furniture, but after a year of strong sales for Stewart's initial Lily Pond and Skylands lines, the chairman and chief executive of Bernhardt was much more relaxed when he welcomed her back last month for the introduction of her new Turkey Hill line. Turkey Hill, apparently all these things are designed after some of her homes that she has. So if she does go to jail, I guess she'd be making furniture out of metal or
mm-hmm.
something like that in
well,
the shop.
Well, I'm wondering if Borowitz has sent him the book yet. Or her the book, I should say.
I'm sure she's picked it up.
Yeah, which is Who Moved My Soap?
Who Moved My Soap? Book.
Yeah, it's for those that aren't familiar with Andy Borowitz, Who Moved My Soap?
The CEO's Guide to Surviving in Prison.
Right.
Or Life Behind Bars.
Which, of course, we always recommend here on the show. Just go with liquid soap, no bar, and that'll be your first piece of advice.
That's right.
You know, Ray, I don't know if you saw this. This came out of the Telegraph out of the U.K., but apparently six men who competed for the affection of an attractive brunette called Miriam for a reality television program, again, back in the U.K.,
right.
have threatened legal action after discovering that the object of their attention
mm-hmm.
was a transsexual.
Uh-oh.
I think that's a new name for the program, isn't it?
Yeah.
Contestants have accused Sky One with offenses including conspiracy to commit a sexual assault program called Find Me a Man.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or a tranny.
Or a transvestite.
Right. Was filmed in Ibiza over the summer, which, of course, an island off of Spain, known for its big parties and so forth. Obviously. And the contestants, all ages 20 through 35, were invited to pick the most attractive woman from a lineup, and they all basically went for this Miriam gal or guy or person. I don't know what politically you should
– Miriam or Marion.
Says Miriam. It's
okay.
It could be marry him, couldn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
Anyway, some of the men who are believed to have been intimate with Miriam before discovering at the end of the show that she was a preoperative transsexual. Now, to me, if you're a pre-op,
mm-hmm.
you're not a transsexual.
No, you're not.
So anyway, I think we're splitting hairs at this point. Yeah.
We won't go there.
No.
Okay, let's take a break here for Patrick Meyer on The Advertising Show.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's The Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Don't you want to just scream with delight when a marketer gets it right? Take Mini Motorcars, a young upstart brand coming over from the UK, taking the world by storm. This little brand had a big challenge. Launch a little car in a world where everybody's got giant vehicles. The solution? Dive right into the world of your target, understand everything about them and their passions. Focus on the strengths and vulnerabilities of the brand, then break all the rules. Let's start with the product. Give it some testosterone. Not a weenie car here. Cool colors, wheels, exciting interior, racing stripes, etc. Then a new positioning. A whole new form of driving experience called motoring. Only from Mini. Then drive behind that with a brand personality that's upstart, irreverent, fun, energized. Follow with advertising that breaks into everywhere that the target is, in print, in outdoor, on TV, but do it in a smart way with impact. Then use strategic alliances. The movie The Italian Job was a two-hour celebration of Mini, and when you left that theater, you wanted to own that car. So here's what I ask you to do. Think like Carrie Martin, their head of marketing, or their agency, Crispin Porter Boguski. First, jump into the insights about this target. Understand their passions and what makes them scream with delight. Second, identify your core marketing idea and then drive it constantly wherever you are. Third, spend, but spend for impact. Fourth, make sure that your marketing plan is a story unto itself that continually unfolds and delights consumers and they want to talk about it. And lastly, have some fun just like the Mini folks and drive your business going forward.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer from Fusion 5. And remember, the marketing revolution has begun.
Always great advice, too. And what a fantastic car that is. Mm-hmm. I like that car.
Well, you know, the Mini is a good example of a few years ago launching a brand new product in the U.S. On a shoestring budget. Mm-hmm. And basically the agency, Crispin Porter, has made a name for themselves on that particular account because, you know, I don't know about you, Ray, but it seems to me that in many cases a client or an advertiser that has a small budget mm-hmm. actually gets better work because it challenges the agency to really come about a different attack and a different strategy.
I absolutely agree.
We'll talk to Ken Roman about that maybe in just a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe he drives a Mini, right?
Maybe so.
I don't know.
Well, the money he's making on this book, it's probably a Maxi.
A Maxi.
Yeah, SUV or something. I mean.
That'd be great if Mini Cooper came out with something like that, wouldn't it be?
Well, he lives in Manhattan, Cooper. Though. We'll see if he even drives.
I think he walks, probably.
Yeah.
Takes
mm-hmm.
the bus or walks. Yeah. The train, I guess. How to Advertise is the book, and we'll have Kenneth on in just a few moments here at the Advertising Show with Ray Schillings, along with Brad Forsyth. We've got a moment if you want to chat about something here before the
Well, you know, this is something I was wanting to read last week and didn't get around to it. I thought it was interesting. Analyzing the first 4 weeks of the season, Magna Global USA said Nielsen Media Research is probably right when they say that 9% decline in usage of TV by men 18 to 34 is a real decline. The networks have expressed skepticism that usage would be off that much in just one demographic group. However, usage by young men is low to begin with, and of course, historically, low levels. New programs offered by the networks are pretty much aimed at women and old viewers. So, you know, men, you're struggling with young people with newspapers nowadays,
right.
And now the networks are struggling with men 18 to 34. So we'll see what happens there.
I wonder where are they going? Online?
Internet, who knows?
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Kenneth Roman up next, author of the book How to Advertise on the Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
I love Bosco. It's rich in chocolate tea. Chocolate-flavored Bosco is mighty good for me. Mama puts it in my milk for extra energy. Bosco gives me iron and sunshine vitamin D. Oh, I love Bosco.
This is The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth, and we, of course, have our Boscos sitting right on our console and our desk and everything, don't we? You're just with your regular water.
What's that other bottle next to your Bosco? What are you mixing with that this morning?
Diet 7-Up, okay?
Yeah.
There we go. It's our special guest today, Kenneth Roman. Ken is a former chairman and CEO of Ogilvy and Mather Worldwide, one of the top international and communication firms. During his 26 years with O&M, he was closely associated with major clients like some you might remember and know, American Express, Unilever, Compaq, a Houston company, Kraft, General Foods, Mattel, and Kimberly-Clark, and was responsible for operations in 52 countries. I'll tell you one thing. Wonder what else he had time to do. You know what I mean? Obviously, he had time to write a book, too, called How to Advertise.
Ken, wanted to jump into talking about your book here, and welcome to the show, by the way. Wanted to ask you, since this is the third edition of the original that was written back in 1976 and revised again in 92, what in your book did not make it to the new edition, the 03 edition, and what was added?
Well, a lot of things didn't make it into the new edition, principally old examples. Over that period of time, a lot of ads and commercials have been overtaken by other things. But the thing that didn't change, it was really astonishing. Every time we bring it up to date, we're all set for things to change, and everything has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Media, markets, people, every research. But the one thing that doesn't seem to be changed are fundamental principles of how do you communicate.
Mm-hmm. So just so the people will understand, who would be your ideal target for this particular book? Who would read this book?
Advertisers. And, this is a book written for clients.
Mm-hmm.
It started when I went to a meeting many years ago when television was really beginning to get going, and our clients who knew print didn't know much about TV, I'm in a meeting and a new campaign has been presented, and the client says, "Now in frame 7," and the creative team is waiting to hear what they think of it. "In frame 7, could she say this instead of that?" I said, "She could say Mary had a little lamb, and it wouldn't make any difference."
Mm-hmm, right.
Pay attention to the visuals. Mm-hmm. That's why they're called viewers. So I said, well, we need a little bit more education here. So I started writing down some things that I thought clients should know in order to evaluate advertising. And we found, of course, that some people, agency people, sort of read it over their shoulders. And students who are coming in who need to know some of the basics found it very useful.
And that, you say that was in the early 70s when that...
Yeah, that's when that happened.
Well, I'm glad to hear that clients were screwing with your copies and ideas back then, too. it's an interesting point as I read the book, I found that, there are plenty of agencies out there that really know their craft, but there are others that I think could potentially benefit from your book. I think especially if you're a young... fresh out of college practitioner, just getting into the agency world, this would be a wonderful primer on the basics and fundamentals of advertising that cross through many different topics. I see one subject that you mentioned that you've updated here is brands and strategies, and I'm curious, how has brands and the strategizing with regard to branding changed over the past 10, 12 years since you last updated this book?
Well, it's just gotten more prominent. I mean, people are now beginning to understand that what you really have to do is to build a brand, and you don't do that with a commercial. You do that with a whole series of ads. You do that with campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's changed much. They start talking now. Some people talk about brand essence or brand DNA or brand promise, and some people are starting to talk more about that, but... Coca-Cola's been around for a while as a brand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think some examples of brands that we talk about here on the advertising show that have done a great job of creating a brand solidly known in America, but yet have done it with very little advertising, is Starbucks.
Well, very little advertising. You're absolutely right. But they do have those stores out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of word of mouth, and that's advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a lot of promotion. So do they do a lot of television advertising? I guess the thing that's changed is the definition of what is advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Is much broader than it used to be. I mean, when we had three television networks and a handful of independent stations and a few national magazines, that was one thing. But now, I mean, this week, I got my... stuff back from the local tailor in a garment bag, a plastic garment bag, and there was Continental advertising on every piece of clothing.
Oh, you're kidding. How great.
And then last week was Halloween. Mm. And the kids came to the door, and they had trick-or-treat bags. And they were provided by, they were printed bags provided by somebody selling a couple of movies. One was The Haunted House. And there was another thing about a bear. And so these, so is that advertising? You bet it is.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
So this advertising is more than television commercials.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, you hear the number batted around nowadays. They say that most Americans are exposed to 3,000 advertising messages per day. I'm just old enough to remember 20 years ago, I think they were saying, you know, 1,000, 1,200. It's certainly not getting less. It's getting more. But,
oh, no.
But you know, when you talk about Starbucks, as an example, I think most people have been in a Starbucks or are familiar with it. It's also about the signage. It's about the smell that you get when you hit the door. It's about the consistency of the brand and the product that they deliver. It's the people behind the counter.
It's, so it's the experience beyond the product is what you're saying.
Exactly. We like to think that the brand, with regard to Starbucks, is the brand experience as opposed to the brand.
Total experience.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we had, I guess it was... who was it that we had on recently that is the former marketing director of Starbucks as well as Nike?
Yes.
His name will come to me in a moment, but it was a great interview, and you can catch
Scott
that.
Scott Bedbury?
Yeah, Scott Bedbury. Right. Yes, thank you. And he wrote a book called The New Brand World, and if you want to listen to that program, certainly you can log on to theadvertisingshow.com and check out our archives. I believe it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, right,
when we had
that
on.
But we're wrapping up this segment. I'll ask you a quick question. How hard was it to cash in your frequent flyer miles when you were handling operations for 52 countries when you were at chairman CEO of Ogilvy Worldwide?
Well, it was that's a trap. The more you travel, the more they give you miles so you can travel more.
which really you want to stay home at that point.
What's second prize?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You do get to stay home, right? Exactly.
You know, next segment, I want to talk about your experience not only at Ogilvy Mather, but your personal experience with David Ogilvy, the man, and we're going to hold that question for the next segment.
Good.
On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillins along with Brad Forsyth and our special guest today talking to Kenneth Roman out of New York. Ken is the co-author of How to Advertise, and like Ken says, a great book for advertisers and agency folks alike as well. We've got the Wacky World of Marketing coming up here in just a moment with Bruce Abbott. We've got a little bit later on this hour. What is it going to be this hour? Is it good or bad?
We're going to do the badvertising.
Badvertising?
Oh, yeah.
Hour? Oh, boy. Well, yeah. Look for that. Next hour, Mary Lou Quinlan, What Women Want, and we've got that coming up next hour. We've got Andy Borowitz here on the Advertising Show as well today with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. As Brad said, the great place to go for archival shows and good information about advertising and marketing is our website at theadvertisingshow.com. So when we come back, we'll have more with Ken Roman out of New York on the Advertising Show.
Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to Illinois, where at press time, AP reports Barbie and Ken are being hauled into federal court. But don't expect them to testify. Two Madison County, Illinois women are suing Mattel over so-called limited edition Barbies. Pamela Cunningham and Reed Caldwell say they bought the supposed collectibles, such as the Gone with the Wind Barbie and Ken, but the suit charges the company made thousands of the limited edition Barbies, which ended up at discounters. The collectible Barbies originally sold for as much as $150 each. The case has now been certified as a class action suit. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
to meet the swinger, Polaroid swinger.
On the advertising show, a classic spot for a product that really caught the essence of the era, the Polaroid Swinger. Mm-hmm. One of the first Polaroid cameras, I think, out there, too. On the advertising show, it's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, and our special guest today is co-author of the book, How to Advertise, and his name is Ken Roman. We're talking to Ken out of New York. Ken, thanks for being on the advertising show.
Happy to be here.
Well, Ken, how many of our listeners certainly know the name Ogilvy Mather, but how many of our listeners actually have had the opportunity to hear someone speak to a person like yourself who actually worked day-to-day with David Ogilvy, the icon of the industry, the author of the book. What was the name of the book?
Well, Confessions of an Advertising Man was the
first
was
book.
His first book.
Yeah.
And then he wrote a second one called Ogilvy on Advertising. He wrote an autobiography in between called Blood, Brains, and Beer, but that didn't last very long.
And I think Ogilvy on Advertising really was known as the Bible of the advertising business for many, many decades.
Well, actually, Confessions had much the same.
Oh, did it? So. Did it? You had an interesting story about working with Mr. Ogilvy and in reference to his book and so forth, and it revolved around, I believe it was a P&G client of yours. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, David is often misinterpreted because people say, well, let's see, David Ogilvy and Mather and David laid down these rules, and you've got to write advertising by the rules. Well, I don't know if that's the case or not, but I can tell you that when I was a young account executive, I brought an ad into my boss. It was a coupon ad, and the coupon was up on the top of the page, and I said, why is the coupon up there? And I said, because David says in his book, Confessions, that was at the time, coupon should be at the top of the page. He said, well, why does Procter & Gamble put their coupons at the lower right? I said, I don't know, maybe they haven't read the book. So he said, why don't you do a split run? I didn't know what a split run was, but I learned that you can do alternate copies of the papers with a coupon in different positions. So we did it, and we keyed the coupons, and guess what? The lower right won by 12.8%, as I recall.
Really?
I walked into my boss and said, what do we say to David now? And he said, well, that isn't the point. David doesn't say that these are right. He said, you got to start with some point of view and then test that point of view and find out if you're right. Learn by experience, but don't just do an ad as if nobody has ever done one before. Don't you learn anything?
I think the tone of, and again, it's been many years since I've read that book, and I believe it was the Ogilvy on Advertising book that I remember most. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about you, Ken, but it seemed to me, and maybe that was your take before that experience, but it seemed to me the tone of what David wrote was a bit gospel-like. It was more, it just seemed to be more absolute in the way that he wrote his rules, so to speak.
Well, it may be, but that isn't what he meant, and he certainly said his point. Well, my personal experience with him was you should use these things and try those. Start someplace. Mm. His basic point was you've got to take experience and distill it into some kind of principles and at least just start with some, as opposed to guessing what you do. You're supposed to have a little professional discipline.
And yet he was a confident enough individual, obviously, to realize that maybe rules are out there as guidelines and meant to be challenged. What would we all be surprised to learn about David Ogilvy, since you knew him personally, Ken?
Well, surprised. He was a very funny man. He was larger than life. Great. He was an actor. He really, the way he dressed, the way he talked, what he did, he was a master of the grand jest. At one point, one of our clients back was Madame Rubenstein. And so David, who also affected English suits, saw her crossing the street, and there was a puddle. And he rushed across the street, took up his coat, and put it in the puddle so she could step on the puddle and walk across. So he was a master of the grand jester.
Very gallant, huh?
to sell his points of view.
You know, I think he preceded a lot of agency people today, that his persona really was the tone of the agency, don't you think, Ken?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you had the pleasure of visiting him at his chateau, I suppose, in France.
The 12th century chateau in France.
Mm-hmm. And so I assume that he had wine that actually had a cork in it over there, huh?
Well, I'm not sure he knew that much about good wine.
No.
The joke was, you know, somebody said, he would say to somebody, he said, "You see this wine?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That wine came from that bush out there, and those bushes out there." And somebody else said, "Doesn't travel very well, does it?"
From the bush to the to the chateau.
It was a strawberry bush or something, right?
Working with all of the high-profile clients that you worked with over the years, Ken, and we have just 30 seconds left, is there any one client that stands out better than another in terms of your memories of working with them?
Well, American Express is really a toweringly good client, and those people did great advertising. We couldn't have done great advertising without a great client. And American Express had terrific products, and they knew what they wanted, and they were just marvelous to work with.
Hey, Ken, let's take a break here on the advertising show. We'll get to talk more about American Express and other things coming up in just a minute with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth and our special guest, Ken Roman, out of New York.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Oh, Fab, they put real borax in you. Oh, Fab, they put real borax in you. It's the new kind of clean you want to.
It's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show, and we don't have any borax in us, but we still look good, right? Especially for our age.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kenneth Roman is our special guest here on The Advertising Show. How to Advertise, that's the name of the book that we're talking about today. We're talking about American Express, just a few minutes ago before the break. And, you know, boy, American Express is still doing a fantastic job with Tiger Woods as mm-hmm. one of the spokespersons now. What a great campaign that they've got running with him now as well.
Yeah, and if you're just joining us, Ken's background, of course, former chairman and CEO of Ogilvy Worldwide. And, you know, you're talking about American Express and being a great client. And being a great client also means, as you said, Ken, allowing an agency to create great advertising on their behalf. And I think, as Ray was just mentioning, I guess the ultimate compliment is the fact that they are pretty much staying with a campaign that was created many, many years ago.
Well, I wouldn't say allow. They insisted upon great advertising. And, you know, the best advertising that I was involved with was always came out of a big question by the client.
What, which was?
It was never our coming up with an idea and trying to sell it to a client. It was always the other way around.
Oh, really?
They insisted, they asked, they set high standards. But they knew what they wanted. The point is they knew how advertising worked. And so they knew what they knew how to go after it.
Well, do you think that there's a lot less risk-taking today when it comes to clients and their willingness to do advertising that, you know, is different than what their competitors are doing?
No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot of people are taking risks. As a matter of fact, some people are taking risks that you might raise your eyebrows about. Say, mm-hmm. "You sure that's a good idea?" No, I don't think there's less risk. I think people are very experimental. It's tough to get people's attention. It's a cluttered advertising environment, and you have to take some risks to reach out and grab an audience.
Mm-hmm. So do you think, I think we would all agree that there, you know, as in any era, 2003, we see mediocre advertising out there on the network, and we hear it on the radio, and we see it in newspaper and magazines. Going back to the issue of clients demanding great advertising, some allowing their agency to develop risky type advertising and going along with it, let's go back to the concept of mediocre advertising. Who's responsible, Ken, for mediocre advertising today? Is it the client or is it the agency?
Well, you know, I've been on a bunch of boards. I was on the board of Compaq Computer, and I was sitting in a board meeting one day, and one of the directors held up an ad and said, "Look at this ad, one of our ads." And one of the ads for compact computers, and they said, what do you think? They trashed that ad. They said, what do you think about that ad? And I said, well, fellas, it's not a very good ad. But let me tell you something. Somebody approved that ad. We're not a very good client. And until we're a good client, we're not going to get good advertising. If you want good advertising, it takes really three things. I call it the iron triangle of creativity. You need a great client who knows what he or she wants. You need a terrific agency who can respond. And you need a process that lets ideas get through, because a lot of organizations are filled with people who ask questions, who don't know what to, you know, and there's so many approval levels. See, all these approval levels dilute the vitality of ideas of vitality.
Mm-hmm. So oftentimes, if there is a great client and a terrific agency, in many cases, an idea, you say, that gets presented to the client, if there are a lot of hands involved in the process, it gets diluted or compromised.
Absolutely. Somebody used to say of network programming that there are so many people involved, it's like being nibbled to death by a duck. That you don't really feel anything, but you look down one day and your leg is gone.
Yeah, when they're done, there's nothing left. Is that what you're saying? Right.
You know, in the opening segment, we were talking about young adult measurement, apparently 18 to 34, losing a bit of its weight in network television. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we've all heard for a long time now that young people are not reading newspapers as they once did many, many generations ago, and that newspapers are struggling with that. Do you believe that newspapers are losing their appeal to the young adult market? And if so, what can they do about it?
Well, it's clear that newspapers have lost some appeal. It's clear that network television has lost some appeal. But there's so much competition, not just other media, but time. You know, and there are kids on video games, they're on the Internet, and there's advertising on the Internet now, which there never used to be.
Hey,
there's
Kenneth,
always more competition.
Kenneth, we're going to take a break here on the Advertising Show, and we'll be back with Kenneth next hour, which is a great reason for you to stick around with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth. Kenneth Roman, our special guest, author of the book, How to Advertise. And we'll be back in just a minute. Stay with us.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
My dog's better than your dog. My dog's better than yours. My dog's better because he gets kennel ration. My dog's better than yours. My dog's bigger than your dog. My dog's smarter than yours. My dog's better because he gets kennel ration. My dog's better than yours.
This is The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth. What a memorable commercial and jingle to go along with man's best friend, his dog, or dogs in our particular case, right?
Correct.
On The Advertising Show, we're talking about with Kenneth Roman just a few moments ago, and we'll have Kenneth back on next hour, of course, to get some more great answers. The book is called How to Advertise. You go to your local bookstore, and you'll find it there. But we'll get Kenneth back on in just a little while. You're talking about the iron triangle for advertising. That is a real vivid picture of what it takes to manufacture a successful campaign.
It really does, and you know, I'm going to get into to ask any more about that in the next hour, because I think we have certainly a lot of clients, a lot of advertisers out there that listen to The Advertising Show, and I believe that it's important that they understand their role in the process of working with an agency and how to get the best effort out of your agency.
I love it. You know, bring up the question and then you get the answer from the agency and the creative. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Sometimes creative doesn't work as good as it should, and that is, whose fault is that? Well, it's everybody's fault, because if you put the triangle together, it's, you know, blame it on the client as well.
There's
right?
There's enough blame to go around for everyone.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. We try to fish out the good and the bad. This week, unfortunately, it is not good.
Now it's time for the Badvertising item of the week.
So what do we have this week?
Well, I was reading the Wall Street Journal earlier this week and saw a newspaper ad that was included in the Section A. And I must tell you, Ray, most advertising in the Wall Street Journal is very well executed. Certainly, this is a a product that was placed appropriately in the Wall Street Journal, the Jaguar, the new 2004 model here that they're featuring. But what really caught my eye, and of course I think you'll find this also in Ogilvy on Advertising and his rules, that back in those days, Ogilvy was a big proponent of a lot of copy for an ad, if it took it. Today's world, I believe, the way the time-impoverished consumer is and reading newspapers, and of course reading newspapers for editorial, not advertising, let's keep that in mind. When you do an ad, I think you got to consider how to capture the attention of the reader and deliver your message in as brief a way as possible so that as they turn the page, it's not only the message is delivered, but it's memorable. Look at this ad, Ray. We have a 4-column by roughly 14-inch ad, and it's for Jaguar. And I would say roughly a third of the ad at the bottom has a visual of the Jaguar itself.
Right.
And the body copy here, I put a ruler to it before we came on the air today, 7-inch by 7-inch body copy block here. But what's interesting about this is there are 37 lines of copy, averaging around 18 words per line. So you have roughly 600 words, over 600 words of copy in an ad. And I've got to ask you, would you read any of that?
I can't even see that.
Well,
you definitely need readers for those things.
At the bottom of the copy block, in a little bit larger type, it says, "This will either encourage a test drive or save you the time." Well, I'm looking at this, and if I were to read that—
How about if it does neither?
Well, if I read the headline at the bottom, you might look up and say, here it is, new from scratch, blah, 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 and you go, okay, I'm done, and you turn the page.
Right.
I guess Jaguar must believe that people are as interested in their product as they are to put this much copy in an ad, and it's not really flowing copy that engages the reader. It's really little— it's screened back type, so it's not as bold as the type as you see in the newspaper. And then you have little bolded up versions here, Motor Trend, Auto Week, Road and Track, and it mentions various car buff publications that I suppose are supposed to interest the reader. But again, I'm looking at this. I'm reading letters to the editor from Wall Street Journal, again, Section A, towards the back of the A section there.
Mm-hmm.
Come across this ad. I'm not really engaged. I'm not encouraged to read it. So, you know, Jaguar did a great job in targeting the Wall Street.
They got the right vehicle, yeah.
I think so, but I don't believe the execution is in keeping with what it could be as far as a product of that nature. So,
yeah, awfully convoluted.
That's why they get the advertising item of the week.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah.
On the other hand, too, did you see this in Ad Age? This is actually for the Wall Street Journal. This is a great ad. What it says is it's got a picture of an executive, and it says in big, bold, easy-to-read print at the bottom, he spends 54 minutes with the journal in the morning. And then it's separated from that is he'll spend $7 million on telecom equipment in the afternoon, which just basically says, you want your ad there? You want somebody to read it and see it?
And, you know, it's interesting. It's a great ad in Wall Street. It takes a Wall Street Journal to know how to actually go out there and grab the reader's attention in the Ad Age publication where you're going after the advertiser and you want to convey to the advertiser why you should want to advertise in the Wall Street Journal. So,
beautiful.
It's a great idea.
Quick hour here, too. We've got another one to go, and we hope you can stay around. Whatever you're doing this weekend, we take us with you. Maybe you're heading out in the car or whatever, out in the shop, fixing the lawnmower. Or in this particular case, at this time of the year, it would be the snowblower, wouldn't it?
Right.
Something like that. Anyway, we've got Kenneth Roman coming back for the next hour, How to Advertise is the book, and Ken is in New York, and we will be talking to him throughout the next hour on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. As always, remember our website, it's theadvertisingshow.com, and it's the place you can go throughout the week to send us emails about questions and comments about the show, and also a place that you can go to hear old shows, the archive shows that we have here in the past, and a lot of great guests too, a lot of good material if you're researching or just want to learn something. What a concept, eh? The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com, a Big Radio Midgets production.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Back for Hour 2 on The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. And this is Ray Schillens along with Brad Forsythe. With you, we've got Kenneth Roman, the author of How to Advertise, also Writing That Works. We didn't talk about that book either, but we're focusing on how to advertise today, which is a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. Kenneth will be joining us in just a little while. We've got Mary Lou Quinlan, Just Ask a Woman. We've also got Andy Borowitz coming up this hour and the Wacky World of Marketing. So it's a jam-packed hour, and it'd be a good idea if you stayed right here. So, what's cooking?
You know, I had some content I was going to read a few weeks ago, and I held on to it. And since you just mentioned the Wall Street Journal last hour and how they were advertising in, what was it, Ad Age Magazine, Forbes.com has debuted an ad campaign entitled The Best Way to Reach Big Business. This campaign compares the value of online advertising, specifically, of course, on Forbes.com, with advertising in traditional news media, such as the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
The campaign is part of an ongoing effort to educate the ad community about the value of advertising on Forbes.com. The campaign kicked off, here's the interesting part, with a three-page gatefold in October 13th, that's last month issue, of Ad Age, and ads will run online on AdAge.com and AdWeek.com. So maybe, just maybe, the Wall Street Journal ad that you saw in this week's Ad Age may be a reaction to their advertising campaign that launched last month.
Well, I'll be.
Well, you know, and if you're a publication, you want them to battle it out in your publication.
You sure do, don't you?
Get in line and get an ad.
I love it.
And if there's any other competitors out there, you know, jump on the bandwagon and call your Ad Age rep today. There's their plug.
You've done everything but give the phone number.
Yeah.
That's all right. You can find it on their website.
1-800? No, we can't
do that. Hey, Walmart. I'm not sure that this makes sense for Walmart, but Walmart is going to unveil, I should say, an online music store this month. So they're going to offer music online. You won't have to go to Walmart. And I'm just wondering, is the typical profile of a Walmart customer one that might shop online as opposed to going to the store? And I don't know that. I'm not saying that they're not, but isn't that kind of unusual?
I would not think that. I would think they would be a later adopter of purchasing online than your general market. But on the other hand, you know, Walmart's done a great job of reaching more than just the lower end folks out there over the years. It's really all about wanting to save money. Of course, they also have educated folks, unfortunately, that if you want some great service, maybe you don't want to go to Walmart.
Great service?
Yeah, in terms of, you know, the greeter says, "Can I help you?" And after that, you're pretty much on your own, aren't you?
I like the one where they check your bag on the way out to see if you stole anything. That always...
And it can often pay off if it's your bag they're checking.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Right. No, actually, you know, we read a while back about slogans, and Walmart was one of the highest-ranked slogans that were able to be recalled by consumers. And if you remember, always low prices, always, which is their tagline. Mm-hmm. The reason I believe, and I think we talked about this, Ray, and we both came to the same conclusion, and that is the reason why that tagline is so memorable. Mm-hmm. It reflects what the hell they do at the store.
Exactly.
So I mean,
they're doing a lot of things right. There's
they
no
really
doubt
are.
About that. I just wonder if this connect with the online music shop is a logical one. I guess we'll see.
Well,
the
beauty of this is that unlike other companies or publications or media that report on things and then you wonder what might happen and then you never hear any more about it.
Right.
Here on the advertising show.
You will.
We'll let you know.
We'll follow up.
Yeah.
Right now, Mary Lou Quinlan on the advertising show.
And now, stay tuned for What Women Want. Insights from listening to your most powerful customer. Here's Mary Lou Quinlan.
I read a recent article that said that soccer moms were old news and that NASCAR dads were the new it target. The idea came from all the sitcoms that feature momless families, single fathers, and gay men with kids. Here's what I think. It's true that there are more single parents in the country today. But look around and you'll see that in the huge majority, those single parents who are caring for the kids day in and out are moms. Even with the shrinking nuclear family unit, it's still mom who's doing the buying and the mothering and the doctoring and the gatekeeping. So why are soccer moms passé? My theory is that marketing to moms seems too hard, too massive and overwhelming. It's easier for marketers and agencies to wrap themselves around 18 to 34-year-old male video game players, or even to think about the travel desires of wealthy retired couples. And yeah, NASCAR dads sound like fun. Marketing to moms isn't hard. Just follow these three easy mom rules. Number one, keep it simple. Your message, your product, your buying process, your website. Two, go to her. That's why she loves drive-through windows, free shipping, and enterprise rent-a-cars. Number three, make it fast. Self-scanners, online reservations, instant messaging, and quick pickups on your customer service line. And by the way, get a human being to do the answering. If you think soccer moms are over, think again. She's still calling the shots. And if calling her a yoga mom or a Manolo mom makes her cooler to you, knock yourself out. She's still the it girl. Get used to it.
This has been What Women Want from The Advertising Show with your host, Mary Lou Quinlan, CEO of Just Ask a Woman. To learn more about what women want, visit justaskawoman.com.
This is Mary Lou Quinlan reminding you, if you want to know what women want, stop selling and start listening.
You know, she sounds a little agitated today.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Now,
I don't know.
She certainly doesn't hold back her opinions,
no, she
which is
doesn't.
What we want here on The Advertising Show.
No holds barred.
All right. And Ken, by the way, off the air, you don't know this, folks, but Ken Roman, our guest next segment, who is the author of How to Advertise, former CEO of Ogilvy Mather Worldwide, wants to talk about the badvertising item that we featured last hour.
A rebuttal?
Yeah, well, I don't know what it is.
Well, it could be.
It's about the Jaguar ad in Wall Street Journal, and this might be, you know, like bringing back the old 60 Minutes where the two used to argue at the end of the...
Brad, you ignorant.
Yeah. It starts with an S.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
And did they do away with Clinton what's his name from Kansas? Dole. They used to do that on the 60 Minutes. They'd argue at the end or give.
I don't know.
I think they've done away with that bit.
It's about time. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had enough of Mr. Clinton, didn't we? For 8 years.
We're not political here, but
no,
yeah,
we're not.
Right, exactly.
I mean, if you have a child and you're trying to listen to the news for 8 years, you had to turn it down. Daddy, what does blank mean? I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
Hey, Coors got their hand slapped, or is going to get their hand slapped. They are under fire from a youth anti-alcohol group for their involvement in a Halloween movie. It's a scary movie tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, we thought it was rated R. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically what they're saying. Just a month after the alcohol marketers agreed to advertise only in media that reached an audience consisting of at least 70% adults. Now, scary movie.
PG-13?
Is a PG-13 movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's weird. That's wrong.
What's that tell you?
I don't know. Usually if they want people to go to movies, they'll slap an R on there, mm-hmm. you know, just to see.
Right.
But we would never do that here on the advertising
show. We're old enough to look at the
We're
twins.
We're PG-13.
Yeah.
Maybe 14.
Maybe.
Ray Schillen's Brad Forsyth, and back in just a minute with our special guest and author Kenneth Roman, author of the book How to Advertise. And we'll be back in just a minute.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillen and Brad Forsyth.
From yes, sirree. Sing the jingle. Classic spot, Meow Mix. And the gentleman who produced that spot.
Jerry Delafamina, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Told an interesting story about the lady who actually sang the jingle that day was not the lady who they had hired to sing the jingle. She didn't show up, so they pulled somebody into the studio, and that's how she became famous. He said that she put her children through college with that meow.
Right. A very well-known.
Unbelievable.
Piece. Coast School, Ivy League.
If you were with us last hour, you heard us talk about Kenneth Roman, who is a former chairman and chief executive officer of Ogilvy & Mather Worldwide, one of the top international advertising communications firms. After Ogilvy, Ken joined American Express as executive VP for public affairs and communications. On 92, he went on his own as a consultant. He was a senior advisor to Price Waterhouse and has served on a dozen corporate boards, including Compaq, Brunswick, and Gartner. So, Ken, welcome to the Advertising Show. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, Ken, you said off the air you wanted to discuss the advertising item that we featured last hour, and Jaguar being a print ad in the Wall Street Journal, and I was critical of that ad, saying that the body copy was way too much in terms of volume and lacked any kind of engagement from the reader's standpoint. What did you want to talk about here?
Well, I don't want to make a big deal out of this. I just wanted to, since I haven't seen the ad, and it may in fact be a lousy ad, but there is a principle involved here with products like Jaguar. I mean, if you uses long copy, if you're selling a product where people spend a lot of time, like a vacation, or a lot of money, like a car, not everybody's going to read the ad, but those people who are real potential purchasers, you cannot tell them too much. Now, if you're going to be selling a toothpaste, you probably don't want to run a log copy ad, but there are times where a lot of information is exactly what the consumer is looking for. And I don't want to go beyond that because it may be a lousy ad. I just haven't seen it.
Well, no, I think you make a valid point. I guess my point, and you will see it if you read the Wall Street Journal, my point, I guess, is not to disagree conceptually with what you're talking about, but to suggest that perhaps of all of the different copy elements that they're mentioning here, various accolades from automotive buff magazines like Auto Week, Road and Track, and so forth, any of those, I think, could be a freestanding statement that you could make with a smaller ad and do it more frequently in the same publication, maybe for similar dollars.
Let's agree conceptually, okay?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, in your book, and for anybody that's hasn't had the opportunity to check out How to Advertising, it's How to Advertise, rather, it's in its third edition, originally published, I believe it was in 1976, and then updated in 92, and again here in 03. And it is a wonderful read, and I must tell you, it has all of the basics and foundations that you would need to become intimately familiar as a client. And if you have an ad agency and you want to be able to communicate with them on their level, this is a book, this is a must-read for you. In your book, Ken, you mentioned, let's see here, integration, advertising on the Internet and using the Internet as a marketing tool as a company. You know, a lot of people talk about integration, but it seems like few can actually execute it. Why do you think that is?
Well, you got two different subjects there. One is Internet, which is Internet advertising is finally starting to grow and is becoming increasingly important as people learn about the medium. And the other thing is, when you were just doing television commercials or print ads, you didn't have to worry a lot about integration. But now you have television, radio, newspapers, magazines, outdoor boards, direct marketing, taxi cab signs, bus shelters. You got a whole bunch of things, and they're all part of your total brand image. So the question is, how do you get all of those things to present one unified image? And it's hard because you got several different units of an organization, or maybe even several different organizations creating those advertising pieces. So you have to start with a central idea and then make sure somebody keeps all those things on track.
You know, and I think that's a very good point. A lot of people, a lot of companies rather, because of, as you just described, have different individuals in charge of various departments or whatever, have different messages that will cross through various media. And I think it's critical, if I could just amplify what your point was there, Ken, it's critical that I believe that there should be common threads in terms of your message and your...
Yeah. The problem, of course, is turf.
Yeah.
And so you got to get people to give up a little turf.
Well, you know, we had Jack Trout on the show a few months ago, and he made the point marketing is too important to be handled by the marketing department. And what he meant by that is the CEO and C-level executives, ideally the CEO, should roll up his sleeves and be involved in that. Do you agree with that philosophy?
Well, you need somebody in charge, and you can't do it by committee.
Mm-hmm.
And you either have to have the CEO or somebody who's delegated to be in charge. But the worst atmosphere for creating advertising is to have it created by a committee.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Ken Roman, author of How to Advertise, also former chairman of Ogilvy Mather Worldwide. When you were at Ogilvy, when did you retire, by the way?
About 10 years ago.
10 years ago. I know you stayed in touch with the industry. What do you see as the major challenges facing the ad industry today, Ken?
The challenge is not a new one. It's how you get attention in an increasingly cluttered environment. And how do you get your message consistent in 25 different places? And how do you make sure the message, and this is perhaps the most important, is one that's going to sell your product?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of advertising gets attention. And you've seen some very entertaining advertising. And that's terrific. We all like to be entertained. We all like humor.
Mm-hmm.
Not all advertising sells.
Mm-hmm. Did WPP own Ogilvy when you were there?
No. Well, they didn't. I was running the place when WPP came in, and we sold to WPP.
Right. And so you were there when they were acquired by WPP, you
yes,
said?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. And do you feel that today, as opposed to back then when all that was just happening, that ad agencies who are publicly owned are paying a little, maybe too much attention to Wall Street today?
Well, if you're a publicly traded company, you have no choice but to pay attention to Wall Street. Those are the owners. You got to pay attention to the owners, whoever they are. That's a balance you have to strike. I mean, you're running a business. The business is a creative business, and you have to have a balance between the creative and the business.
Mm-hmm. Has it changed the way agencies operate today as opposed to when they were independent and not owned by large holding companies that were
sure.
public?
I mean, but it isn't just advertising. The pressures to be profitable, the pressures are incredible. You talked about Walmart earlier. Well, the pressures on Walmart to keep their costs down are staggering.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they've grown. Sure, there's a lot of pressure on advertising agencies to cut their costs, to spend less money, and you know, the emphasis is in the wrong place. An idea is a very valuable thing, and a great idea in the advertising business can really build a business very fast.
Let's take a break here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and we'll come back. We've got the wacky world of marketing. What are we going to talk about next?
Well, I'd like to follow up with Ken and talk to him about what an agency should do for a client and working with an agency. If you're a client out there, he's got some great advice for us.
Good deal. We got the wacky world of marketing coming up next, and of course, a station break, and we'll be back with Andy Borowitz later on this hour, and of course, more of Kenneth Roman too. On the Advertising Show, the book is called How to Advertise, and that's what we're learning how to do today. If you stick around, you'll probably learn something, or possibly two or three things. So stay with us.
And now it's time for the wacky world of marketing.
Wacky world of marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to Hamburg, Germany, where AP reports a German bar is offering women who want to go shopping without their partners the chance to park them at what it bills as the country's first kindergarten for men. The Knox Bar in downtown Hamburg is offering games and home improvement coaching, as well as a meal and two beers for men left there for a Saturday afternoon while women are free to shop in the city's swanky boutiques. So far, the Manor Garden has been a hit, with 20 men taking part in it the first week. Many of the guys see it as just a gag, but then were surprised to find they got along really well with the others. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
When you say but, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say but, you've gone as far as you can go to get the very best.
When you say but, you've said the word that means you like to do it all.
It's The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth. It is the weekend, so there's our beer spot, right?
Yeah.
We have, let's see, do we have a 70% adult viewership? I would suggest so.
Sure, we
at
do.
Least. Yeah. Probably 98%.
And we're not PG-13.
No, we're not.
We're R, aren't we?
No, we're PG-13.
X?
We tried. No, we're not X. Oh. No way, Jose.
Sorry.
Kenneth Roman is our special guest, author of the book How to Advertise, and we were talking to Ken. You brought up a point before the break, Brad.
Yeah, and you know, Ken certainly qualified as former chairman and chief executive officer of Ogilvy Mather Worldwide to comment on the, I think, a very important question for those clients out there that are either working with an agency, thinking about working with an agency. Your final chapter of your book, How to Advertise, is entitled Working with an Ad Agency. Ken, how does an advertiser determine whether they actually even need an agency or not?
Whether they need one? Well, unless they're prepared to go to all of the nitty-gritty of producing advertising, and unless they think they have the best ideas in the world, no, everybody needs an agency.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs, it's a specialist function, and everybody needs one. The question is, do they have one that's any good? Do they have one that will produce for that client?
Mm-hmm. So I guess for those that may be trying to handle their own advertising out there, your advice would be?
Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. It's that really the important thing in the business, and there's only one important thing, which is the ideas. Really good creative people don't want to work for one company.
Mm-hmm.
They want to work on a lot of different clients. They are stimulated by different challenges. And if you work in-house for one agency, you know, you can do it, but you become a specialist. But I'd rather get somebody who has a lot of different stimuli.
Mm-hmm.
And the best creative people work for agencies where they can do a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. A good creative person would probably never find themselves stuck in a client-type position where they're only working on one piece of business.
Well, there's some people who work, for example, in the cosmetics and beauty business. You get some people who specialize in that, and they know more about it than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's it's sort of like an in-house advertising agency. But mm-hmm. for most products, you really want broader people.
Fashion, I think, is also a specialty.
Yeah, I think fashion is another one. That's a good point.
Yeah. So, Ken, how would you recommend that a client evaluate their advertising agency?
Their agency?
Yeah. Let's say they're already working with an agency. How do they go about evaluating the job they're doing?
Well, that's a good question. The first thing is, how healthy is their business? If their business is pretty healthy, then I'd say that's probably pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They probably ought to set a few objectives. You know, I wouldn't evaluate them on what a lot of people do is say, you have this terrific advertising, and we love your advertising. I'm told, for example, that Taco Bell had a campaign with a chihuahua, with a dog, and it won all these awards, and everybody loved that campaign. In the meantime, the client sales were going down. So finally, the client went to another agency and said, listen, I'm not selling dogs, I'm selling food.
Mm-hmm.
And so the new agency started showing food, and sales went up. That was a pretty clear evaluation.
You know, I think that when you say that story, it reminds me that Polaroid figured out decades ago that they're not in the film business; they're in the memory business, I suppose.
Yeah.
You mentioned at the end of that chapter on advertising agencies and working with ad agencies that the difference between advertising that is exceptional and just average is usually the client, since the client is the final arbiter and is responsible for advertising, be it good or bad. So I guess when we were talking last hour about who ultimately is responsible for mediocre advertising. Ultimately, it falls, I guess, on the client's shoulders, huh?
That's right. And when advertising goes wrong or sales go down, and somebody says, well, we better fire the agency, don't you think? Say, well, maybe, but maybe the problem isn't the agency.
You know, I asked that question of a guest recently, and as far as who's responsible for mediocre advertising, the client or the agency, and he said that's a loaded question. Now, this was an agency guy. I didn't think it was such a loaded question. I think, you know, I think a client needs to demand of their agency exceptional work, and then they need to be prepared to figure out a process of evaluating the work and standing behind their agency and letting their agency do what they were hired to do.
Working with them.
Exactly, working with them. You know, one thing in your book, what if someone could only glean one thing from your book, and we have about 1 minute left in this segment, what would it be?
Ideas. All these other things pale into insignificance compared to the power of an idea to build a business. And you have to do everything you can to focus the organization on that part of the business and not on the mechanics of the business or is it money or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the potential is enormous.
I think you also mentioned that you have to create an environment to where ideas can flourish.
Yeah, well, you know, you have creative people who go to an agency that doesn't have a good creative reputation. And you know something? The agency's work doesn't get better.
Let's talk more about that, Kenneth. Let's take a break here. Let's talk more about that in just a minute on The Advertising Show with our special guest, Ken Roman. And the book is called How to Advertise, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of your cold. Take care of your cold. You belong to me.
It's The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth, and a classic spot. That was for Contact, I believe,
mm-hmm.
right? A long time ago.
The Rockettes there.
The Rockettes, yeah. It was a great spot.
Yeah.
A lot of hoopla around that spot. Our special guest is Kenneth Roman. Kenneth is co-author of the book How to Advertise. And we're happy to have Kenneth for at least one more segment here on The Advertising Show this hour.
Yeah, and we've been mentioning How to Advertise. We need to spread the credit around, I guess. Kenneth Roman, of course, former chairman of Ogilvy Mather Worldwide, but he also had the help in this book, originally published back in 76 with right. the assistance of Jane Moss, former creative director at Ogilvy Mather, and more recently, Martin Nissenholtz, who is the CEO of New York Times Digital, helped out, and I'm sure that his portion or contribution, Ken, was the part on the Internet and digital economy that we're now so enthralled with. But let's go and talk a little bit about something that I think a lot of our audience can relate to, and that is television commercials. Mm-hmm. Whether you have the budget to do television commercials or not, you certainly are familiar with them because you watch TV. So, Ken, you take a portion of your book and you describe 7 points to making more effective television commercials, and we're going to take each one one by one and discuss them. The first one you mention is the picture should tell the story. Comment on that, if you would, please.
Well, I'd be glad to. You know, so many people, when you present a commercial, it's presented in the form of a storyboard, little pictures and words on the side. And when you go to clients, or particularly clients who aren't very experienced, they read the stuff on the copy, they read the dialogue, mm-hmm. they read the text, and they don't pay as much attention to the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
What people remember is the pictures. The picture tells the story. And you got to get that your message visually. That's why they're called viewers,
mm-hmm.
not readers.
You know, I once had someone many years ago tell me that a great way to evaluate your TV spot is to turn the volume off
yeah.
and play it and see what you take away from it.
Well, that's one trick. But, you know, if you put if you depend entirely on the voiceover or the voices, you may get the message across, but you're probably not getting as much as you should.
Mm-hmm. So point number two of your seven that you make here is grab the viewer's attention. Certainly that seems obvious, and I want to make sure that we get through all of these. In today's world where people are very busy and impacted considerably with messages, both invited and uninvited messages, how does one make sure that they grab the viewer's attention?
Well, you have to understand audience research. You start with people watching a commercial, and they can only do one of two things. Either they can tune out, or they can stay with you. The audience doesn't build. So if you go if somebody says, well, we have a great ending, well, the viewer may not be with you at the end. Mm-hmm. You have to grab them by the throat at the beginning. Now, you can do that a lot of ways. You can do that by with involvement, by giving them a problem, or by doing something to get their attention right at the beginning. The spot I like is one for Orkin exterminators. Mm-hmm. You're watching the screen, and mm-hmm. it looks like a cockroach is yeah. crawling across the surface of the screen. Yeah. Well, you can't not watch that commercial.
Right. I was at Ray's house, and we were watching that, and he got his fly swatter out.
Yeah.
I want to make sure we catch all five of these. We just have a few minutes left here. Ken, be single-minded.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing that, well, most commercials don't communicate anything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start with that proposition. There's a lot of bad advertising. You've got to really, the essence of doing these things is sacrifice. You have to sacrifice some minor points so you can get one idea across and repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at a commercial that's very busy with all these scenes, that looks terrific, but you can't register it. You've got to get that single point right across visually, simply, you just can't do two or three points.
Yeah, and your last four, preempt the idea for your brand, make sure the spot has stickiness, reflect your brand's personality, and less is more. I want to make sure I get all four of those in.
Well, less is more is really the thing.
Mm-hmm.
The simpler you can make the commercial, the more likely you are to register the one idea, and the more complex it is, the less likely.
That is a great note to end on, Kenneth. Thank you so much for being on The Advertising Show. Go get the book. It's called How to Advertise. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and we will come back in just a minute with more on The Advertising Show.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road along a levee.
Classic spot on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth and Dinah Shore,
mm-hmm.
late Dinah Shore. Great spokesperson for the product for many, many years, too.
Burt's Babe.
Yeah, she was Burt's Babe for a while.
Burt, the toupee-wearing Burt Reynolds.
Not yeah. Burt Bacharach, right?
Right. I'm not only a customer, I'm a toupee wearer. Yeah.
Hey, bombs are dropping, as we know, in the war,
mm-hmm.
Even though there supposedly isn't a war.
Right.
There is a war
mm-hmm.
going on. But the number of bombs on television are also dropping.
Yeah.
Let's see. Did you see this? This was in I Want Media, as a matter of fact, from one of their links. Let's see. CBS is dropping the Brotherhood of Poland, New Hampshire, or NH, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it.
I haven't.
They're dropping Becker.
No love lost there, huh?
Lewis or Luis. I don't even know what the name of that show is.
Mm.
Guess I should have watched, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Skin is gone or will be gone. Coupling, that went bye-bye.
I read about that.
Lion's Den, Boomtown gone. On UPN, The Mullets.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you watch a show called The Mullets?
Well, you know what it is, right? The hairdo, I suppose.
I guess.
And Becker, you know. But I never really was a fan of Becker. Did
Becker
you watch
was a
any
weird
of that?
Show.
Yeah, it really was.
Really weird show.
Yeah.
A very angry, what's his name? What is the guy's name?
The guy from Cheers.
Cheers, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is.
The tall guy.
Jeez, we don't even know.
That also wears a wig.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
A little something in the back.
There you go.
Hey, you know, the two Polish words that appear on every bottle of Belvedere vodka.
Yes.
It's na zaudry. I'm going to say na zaudry, but who the hell knows? It's actually Polish for cheers.
Really?
Yeah, and this also happens to be the name of the Belvedere's latest ad campaign created by Wyden and Kennedy. The ads mark the debut of Belvedere's new tagline, "Do you want a drink or do you want or do you deserve a Belvedere?" I think the answer is yes to both, isn't it? The ads will run in magazines such as Maxim Details and In Style and out-of-home media applications such as bus shelters, taxi tops, and billboards. Additionally, a series – this is what I thought was kind of interesting, Ray. Additionally, a series of illustrations featuring the Belvedere bottle will tribute famous individuals and events worthy of the Na Zaudry campaign. The first of these illustrations happens to feature Quentin Tarantino. Now, if you caught Quentin on Leno about a month ago,
yeah,
he was definitely drinking some Belvedere.
Okay.
This guy was sauced. It was unbelievable.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's embarrassing.
He was there promoting his latest film.
That's real, but this is fake news on the Advertising Show with Andy Borowitz.
Hi, this is Andy Borowitz for The Advertising Show. And now, here's this week's feature from The Borowitz Report.
Fugitive madman Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein will appear on the popular home redecorating program Trading Spaces as a special ratings-grabbing stunt for the all-important November sweeps period, according to TLC. In the program, Osama and Saddam will redecorate each other's hiding places, a cave on the Pakistani-Afghanistan border, and a super-secret lair buried deep under the northern Iraqi town of Tikrit. Working with teams of decorators and carpenters supplied by the Trading Spaces producers, bin Laden and Saddam will renovate each other's spooky hideouts and then surprise each other with the dazzling results, a spokesman for TLC said. At the White House, spokesman Scott McClellan conceded that President Bush and intelligence officials had been caught unaware by the participation in the makeover stunt by the two evildoers, whom the U.S. has unsuccessfully sought for months. But Mr. McClellan attempted to put the best face on the Osama Saddam TV appearance, telling reporters, "Thanks to our efforts, these two monsters have been reduced to remaking each other's dwellings instead of the civilized world as we know it." The TLC spokesman would not indicate how the network has been able to locate bin Laden and Saddam in order to tape the special series of Trading Spaces episodes, but they did indicate that both men were represented by Hollywood's powerful Creative Artists Agency. In other news from the White House, President Bush has said that he was determined to find the person or persons responsible for leaking the similarities between Iraq and Vietnam, and reminded the press that Iraq, in his words, was much sandier.
This is Andy Borowitz, and this has been a special edition of the Borowitz Report from the Advertising Show. To read more reports or to receive daily email alerts, log on to borowitzreport.com. This is Andy Borowitz saying, keep it fake, baby.
Yes, sirree. Mm-hmm. Trading Spaces can find them, but we can't. Come on now.
We are getting very political with our satire, Andy.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Andy's all over the place on CNN. I saw him on Monday he was on.
Yeah.
Friday he's on.
Yeah. He's with Helmer and Hemmer.
And
we always have trouble with this, but I'll remember her name.
Okay.
It was O'Brien.
Soledad O'Brien.
The Irish
Thank you
girl.
Very much. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's Irish.
Yes.
I don't think so.
No.
No, I don't think so either.
But, you know, it's interesting. Well, we'll save it for next week.
Is that interesting?
It's a teaser.
A teaser.
Yeah, we'll see you in 6 days and 23 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm counting.
Yeah.
59.
Yeah, 50 seconds.
There you go. Hey, Chuck McBride is going to be with us next week. Chuck is the creator and director of TBWH Hyatt Day North America. So he'll be talking with us. Where is he going to be?
He's out of Los Angeles, I believe, and he is a huge creative talent, and it's going to be a great person to have on the show next week.
Good deal. So we hope you can tune in. Hope you enjoyed our interview today and the book called How to Advertise with co-author Kenneth Roman. Go get that book. It's got a lot of good stuff in there, including that triangle thing we talked about, the Iron Triangle.
The Iron Triangle.
As opposed to the Iron Chef, right? The Advertising Show is sponsored by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. A bunch of stuff there. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth is a Big Radio Midgets production.